And we are live on Facebook. I am Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. It's Wednesday, and we normally talk NASCAR news and notes on Wednesday afternoons. And, of course, for those joining us on the live broadcast on Facebook, if you have questions or comments, feel free to insert them in the comment section below the video here, and we'd be glad to try to address whatever was on your mind. So, hey, Rod, thanks for joining us. How are you doing this week?
Done okay. Been busy start to the week and everything, helping someone that's a peg leg around the house. But other than that, it's not too bad. And I mean that in all sincerity. My wife, Kim, recently had surgery, and I'm being mean to her. But at the same time, glad to help her out. She had some surgery. And so, and matter of fact, started back school today, work day back here where I live at. So at least a chance to talk some NASCAR right now.
Have to ask how Kim's doing before we start, just because I've known about this for a while, and I'm glad that things went through and she was able to get the surgery. How's she doing right now?
She's doing good. You know, fighting off the pain every now and then and stuff. This was a very extensive surgery, what she had. It was almost, I guess the best way to describe it was a lateral ankle, almost completely of certain parts of her ankle. And she'd had that problem for a number of years, and they went in, and the doctor did a fantastic job, told me what was going on about it. Now begins the big process of just healing up and getting better. It's going to take probably in the neighborhood of total of about 12 weeks, but you know, she's prepared for that, and that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to have this done, but everything got shoved back. We probably could have had this done a long time ago if it hadn't been for COVID. So that's the reason. So
yeah, probably over the summer break instead of during at the start of the school year, right? So, well, we're certainly all thinking about her and glad that she's on that path to recovery. I had knee surgery many, many years ago, and I know that it's the healing process and then the rehab process, and then you get back to being good as new eventually, and that's the best part is when you're back to good as new. So
that's right.
Let's talk some NASCAR news now. We had the race this weekend, the road race at Daytona, and a guy who is no stranger to winning road races, Chase Elliott, his third career win on a road course, two last year. And then Elliott, boy, he had a big lead late, and then things got interesting down the stretch. Denny Hamlin pressed him at the end there, but Elliott holds him off. So take us into it and how things went on the race this past weekend.
Well, I guess especially toward the end of that race, you have to thank Kyle Busch for that, to be able to go and kind of narrow that gap up between Denny Hamlin. You know, some people might have thought, you know, maybe this was a team planned event. Who knows? But no, not by the way those tires looked on the back of Kyle Busch's Toyota. They were shredded all into pieces. And, you know, he had a pretty decent run through the day, and then only to have that happen to him. But, yeah, toward the very end, Denny Hamlin came back. And Denny Hamlin's one of these that was – he was back at least about 12 to 15 seconds back in the pack. And then that restart and that caution really reset things and pulled him up closer. But I'll just say this. I think Chase Elliott had a little bit more horses under the hood and was able to pull off something. And, you know, he's getting to be an expert on these road courses. He won at Watkins Glen last year. And then, of course, he won at the Roval. And that was one of the great races we had a chance to see him race at down there in Charlotte. And this is a guy who hit the wall coming out of, you know, the straightaway down there on the front. He piles into the wall, backs up, and is able to get back out on the track with very minimal damage and gets back to the front and wins this race. I think he's learned a lot from that race. He's learned a lot from some of these others, and he knows that consistency is one of those things that you have to keep on, especially on a road course. And this Daytona course was a challenge for some of these drivers. I know in the truck race, and I think in the Xfinity race, everybody missed turn one. I mean, they were going off wild. I mean, I think put a post up on Facebook of, you know, something like, holy missed turns, Batman, or something like that. They're going off the course, and that's what they were doing. But the Cup Series regulars, they were a little bit more practiced at it. We didn't have a late caution until, you know, really about Kyle Busch. I think the Kyle Busch incident, we had a lightning delay, I think a little start for that. They had a competition caution in there as well. But, you know, really nothing until Kyle Busch had his little his fall away there at the end.
Heat was an issue. I saw that after the race, some of the drivers were talking about maybe some modifications on road courses in the future on days like that. We saw guys sucking down water after the race and doing as quick a job as they could to get out of their suits to try to cool down. But, yeah, heat was a big issue, it seemed like, in the race.
Yeah, and you're racing, I mean, look, you're racing in July and August. You're racing on, especially down in the Florida Sun in Daytona. That track pulls in a lot of heat, just like any other racetrack, especially, you know, a Bristol even pulls in a lot of heat when you're there, even though the rest of the track is pretty much white because of the concrete. When you get down in there into the infield and there's nothing there, it's not too bad. But then when the rigs are there, the cars are there, the heat almost gets to the point of being unbearable. And so I think I heard something about somewhere in the neighborhood of 120, 130 degrees, something like that in the cars. And Martin Truex Jr. was the one that came out the beneficiary of the whole thing, because he was really bragging on his cool shirt that he has. And that's one of those things that circulates the water on the inside of his uniform, his fire suit. And so that's what helped him to win that race. So a lot of drivers had some problems getting the cool air to even come through the hose that they had mounted up there in the top of the helmet. They had some trouble with that. But Martin Truex probably came out the best of all of them.
So Elliott's win moves him up to fourth in the playoff standings. We got a few races to go before we set that playoff field. Hamlin finishing second, maintained second. In fact, gains a bit because Kevin Harvick kind of faded, finished 17th in the race. You mentioned Truex, he finished third. Jimmy Johnson fourth, and now he's 15th in the standings. So he's right now, as things stand, on the inside looking out, I guess. But there's a lot of guys bunched up there between, say, maybe 12, 13, all the way down to about 17, 18, 19. But Johnson had a good run on the road course.
Yeah, he did have a good run. And I thought there toward the very end, he was going to be able to make it to the front a little bit more. But I just don't know if the car had enough there. You know, again, heat could have been a factor with that. But Jimmy Johnson's pretty stout, pretty fit guy. I mean, he's able to handle heat in different situations like that. So I think he probably had all he could handle, especially fighting off Martin Truex and some of the other drivers. But let's just talk about something right here that really caught my attention on Sunday during the road race. And that was the implications if you had a driver like Michael McDowell, who is virtually unheard of. He drives the K-Love car. He drove the K-Love car a couple of seasons. He's been driving the Love's truck centers, the stop centers for the truckers that are out on the highway. The Love's name sponsors that car. He was running as high as fifth, looking at fourth at one point. And he actually, they were talking at one point of whether or not he had enough to be able to pull this off and maybe win the race if something happened to Chase Elliott. And if he had won, if he had ended up winning, that was going to throw the entire points chase and the points race into a tizzy, was what it was going to do. There were going to be some guys that were going to be knocked out of contention, a chance to even make a run at the playoffs. And, you know, that included Kyle Busch. That included Jimmy Johnson out of it. So now we're starting to get down to this Dover race and then this Daytona race. And before it's all said and done, if somebody pulls off a win, especially one of these young guns that has not won a race before, you talk about some people panicking. Kyle Busch is going to be panicking come up time, especially about playoff time, and he has no insurance points. He has no wild card to be able to get him in. He's either going to have to race on his merits and get himself in with a win, or he's going to be missing the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it's fascinating that could be the case this year. The all-star names could be left out of the playoffs potentially as we move down the stretch here. Ryan Newman, first race back after what we all saw, the Daytona 500, and just his ability to walk away from that eventually, that wreck at the Daytona 500 back earlier this year. He finishes 19th, but I'm sure for him, just getting back out there on that track was a big deal.
Yeah, and, you know, Ryan Newman said in an interview before the race, "I still don't remember a whole lot of things that happened." You know, he still doesn't remember some things that happened at the hospital. So, I mean, we're looking at this thing of Ryan Newman as, yes, he probably did suffer what could be considered a major concussion out of this, but it's one that NASCAR is going to continue to monitor. But, you know, he's really got out and he's really drove the wheels off of that car here this year. He's had some good breaks, and he's also had some bad luck along the way. Middle of the pack, so to speak, if you want to put him about 19th and say he was middle of the pack with some of them. Some of the other drivers had some bad things happen to him. Bubba Wallace was running as high, I think, as ninth, maybe eighth or ninth at one point. He faded back, I think finished at 23rd, I believe is where he finished at in the final standings. But Bubba Wallace, you know, know, he really wasn't a stranger to this course. I mean, he really wanted to go and go out and prove something, because they picked up some major sponsorship here in the past couple of weeks, and still continuing to be the buzz in the garage area.
Austin Dillon had to miss the race. He tested positive for COVID. What's the latest? Have you heard any news as regarding his upcoming status?
Quiet as of right now. I think they're probably giving him enough time. They're either going to do the test again to see if he's negative this time around and hope that he ends up being a lot like, you know, Jimmy Johnson when he had the COVID diagnosis. But, you know, if I was Austin Dillon, I don't think it's going to happen, though, because of Granddad and Richard Childress. But Kaz Grala really raced that car. That was unbelievable on Sunday. First time he had ever sat in that car. They fitted him on Sunday morning for that car. He got in there in that seat and he drove, I think it's top five finish or top five, top 10 finish is what he finished up at. He was really proud of that. And, you know, he's been one of these guys that have struggled the truck series and the Xfinity series, trying to hold down a regular job or a regular seat in one of these cars. And I think that was a great career boost for him.
Yeah. It was. And when you get the chance, you got to take advantage of it. He definitely right. did this past weekend. And may have to be engaged again, as you mentioned. We'll have to the status of Austin Dillon being up in the air right now. So, and that coming on a weekend when we have another doubleheader weekend, races on Saturday and Sunday at Dover, as we're going down the stretch here towards clinching those playoff berths. What can we look forward to with back-to-back races, another doubleheader weekend in NASCAR?
Dover is a track. It's a very fast track, concrete surface. I think I've made reference to it before. It's a kind of stretched out Bristol with banking is what it is. Got a little bit more banking on it. A lot of the drivers like Dover because of the fact that it's just, you got a little bit more room than what you do at Bristol. You're able to put the pedal down there for a little bit, but still you turn some fast speeds at Dover. And Dover, Delaware is one of those races that it's almost in some ways like in the middle of nowhere, but still they attract some people from the Chesapeake area and some from the Maryland area and some different places. And so if some of the drivers don't get a chance, say, for example, to get up into the Poconos or Watkins Glen, this is a chance for some of these race fans to be able to see these drivers at Dover, Delaware. And I had a chance, at least it's been about 15 or 20 years ago. I drove by the track and the track is just massive. It's just a huge track and it's like Bristol all over again, but like I said, it's just stretched out there, but it's a tough track. It's very tough on suspension systems, very tough on tires, considering concrete. Bristol can be tough on tires at different times too, but Dover is quite tough on tires.
So two races this weekend, and Rod will be walking us through, as he always does on social media, during the races with insight into the action. And boy, you're going to have double duty this weekend, Rod, to keep your attention. But anything else in NASCAR that we should be thinking about as we are getting ready to wrap up the show?
Well, if fans have not started getting excited about Throwback Weekend and thinking about Darlington, a lot of the car designs are coming out right now, and I saw the latest, and I was really, really pleased to see this one, and that was Jimmy Johnson coming out with a Richard Petty-style design for his Ally Chevrolet, and so he's going to be saluting the king down at Darlington. A lot of the other drivers going in some different kind of marks. And folks, if you don't know what Throwback Weekend is at Darlington, it's a chance for the drivers to kind of, make fun of the past, so to speak. It gives them a chance like, who was it, Ryan Blaney, I think, or Alex Bowman. One of the drivers last year came in with this big handlebar mustache. It came all the way down here. They'd either grown it or they'd stuck it on there. And then you had a driver, I think it may have been Alex Bowman, I think, one year. He turned around, he dressed up like Tim Richmond. And if some folks are not familiar with Tim Richmond, he was probably the man that established the go out and have fun, drive at breakneck speeds, and have fun after the race while it was all over with. And, of course, Tim Richmond passed away here several years ago due to complications from AIDS. But Tim Richmond was he was a fantastic driver. He'd been an open-wheel driver. He drove at Indy, came to NASCAR. And if you really want to know the truth, if you get a chance, maybe one day, and you just want to sit down and watch Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder with Robert Duvall, that is the movie pretty much it kind of parallels Tim Richmond's life, so to speak, because he's the man that kind of went down there. And I still get the big kick out of Robert Duvall when they're doing the time trial at Charlotte, and he breaks Rowdy Burns' time. And when he goes around the track, Robert Duvall says, you know, he might have done better if he cracked up the car a little bit more. So, you know, that's the kind of movie that it was. But that's really pretty much based on Tim Richmond. And they're kind of saluting that old old feel for what NASCAR was. And it's pulled a lot of fans in to see that.
It's always good when you get to celebrate the past. I love it when different sports, NASCAR having the fun this weekend, but when the different sports do that, it's always fun. And I have to ask Rod, Days of Thunder, it's a lightning rod polarizing kind of movie with NASCAR fans. Either you love it or you hate it. Which side do you come down on?
At first, when I first watched it, I thought it was so much of a huge exaggeration because the car damage, I really didn't believe it. I said, you know, there's not a car that's going to be able to withstand anything like this on the track, the way that they're driving and so forth. But then you get back and you start looking at things. The Harry Hog scene of where they do the car building in the barn, that's a little bit far-fetched right there. But you still kind of see the essence, the beginning of what some of these guys did a long, long time ago when they were building these cars. And some of them did build them in barns or, you know, little shed garages out there. They were trying to make them faster. And it kind of gives you that impression. And of course, Randy Quaid's portrayal of Tim Richmond's a little bit over the top. I kind of get a little bit, I don't know, a little bit overboard when I see that one. I'm like, nah, I can't quite see a man who flies an airplane up into a mothership on Independence Day as a car owner. So that's about the best way I could say it. It would have been more believable if Tim Richmond had been there, but still they do a decent job with it. But I think Tom Cruise comes in as the really cocky driver, and he personifies it. Rowdy Burns, Michael Rooker, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy, he's the Dale Earnhardt type right there. And that's the constant head banging back and forth. And then they strangely become allies toward the very end of the race and the very end of the movie. And, you know, that's when he says, drive my car. And then he ends up winning. But Cary Elwes, that's a little bit weird seeing Princess Bride and then seeing him as Russ Wheeler as the driver of the Hardys car. And I kind of have bad dreams at night when I see this constantly. But other than that, it's not a bad movie. I didn't like it at first, but I think as it's gotten older, it's grown on me a little bit more. Now, on the other hand, let's not even talk about Talladega Nights. Let's push this one outside and not even talk about it, okay? It's a crazy movie, but Will Ferrell's a little bit more over the top in that movie.
Just a little. I mean, it's fun if you nod, wink, wink at it. I'll say for Days of Thunder, my experience growing up was more on the drag race side of racing. A lot of my family members, a couple uncles, a couple cousins, built their own drag race cars and raced at the local track for many years. But other than, you know, aside from the fact that there's a slight difference there, obviously drag racing and stock car racing are a lot of similarities, some differences. I've been in lots of garages where it felt like barns, where guys were building their cars and I felt the love. That's, you know, as much, yeah, the Hollywood part of it. I mean, there was certainly some over the top script writing, in Days of Thunder, but yeah, I thought that they did a decent job of capturing, the spirit of the people who, get into racing. You know, now it's corporate. Now it's, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, those original guys, those first couple generations, man, they built their cars. They wanted to make them faster. They might not have had engineering degrees, but they knew how to make a car go fast. And they knew how to drive them. And so I felt that out of the movie.
Well, I'll tell you one good movie. If you've never seen it, I remember it back from the 80s. Bonnie Bedelia, that was in Die Hard. She plays Shirley Muldowney in a biopic about Cha-Cha Muldowney and stuff. And so, you know, that's a pretty good movie I've seen there. You know, if you go back and you want to get nostalgic a little bit more about the humble beginnings of how it was a fight to get on the circuit, go back and watch Kenny Rogers in Six Pack. I think that's a pretty decent movie there too. So
I remember that movie. Yeah, that's a great. I hadn't even thought of that movie in many years, but yeah, you're right. That is a really interesting one to think of. Yeah,
the kids are a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration to some degree, but you know, it's still, there's that thing of, you know, Kenny Rogers and Brewster Baker wanting to make that circuit and trying to get in there, and then last but not least, you've got that great movie with Burt Reynolds and Jim Neighbors, Stroker Ace. You know, it kind of, you know, it's funny too. It's kind of over the top a little bit like Will Ferrell and Talladega Nights, but it is such a commentary on the whole thing of sponsorship and how these drivers are tied into sponsorship anymore these days, as opposed to what it was years ago. I mean, walking around in a chicken suit, I don't think you're going to see many drivers do that today.
But they did what they had to do 30 or 40 years ago, but yeah, not today.
Yes, they did.
Well, that's a good walk down memory lane there. Also, so we got some NASCAR and film review in as well here on the show this week. So good stuff as always, Rod. Thank you for joining us on the show, and we'll have you back next week.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.